We are a people of prophecy. God's prophetic word brought us forth. And that means our lives are regulated by prophetic utterance. The body moves in the direction of what is in the mouth. Your words are laws. We are here to live out the word of God. I told you, this is why we talk for a living. No man ever became greater than the quality of the words he spoke and heard. It's for we are children of the prophets. We are products of their prophetic utterances and of the covenant which God made with our father Abraham.
Can I get a louder amen? Father, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. Lord, the fact that we entered into 2019 is a statement of your faithfulness. And it's a statement that you have a plan for us. You have an agenda for us. You have a purpose for us in this great year. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we will walk in the fullness of your plans for this year. Lord, we have gathered around your word this morning, around your presence and your power. Speak to our hearts. Let your word come to us as a compass for this year. Let these words we'll be hearing position us for your best in this month and in this year. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I declare that as I speak, bodies are lifted, yokes are destroyed. In the name of the Lord Jesus, questions are answered. Sick bodies are healed. The oppressed are set free. The poor are made to prosper. In the name of the Lord Jesus, thank you for the glorious liberty of your presence. Thank you for the glorious liberty of your presence. We give you praise and we give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name. And God's up, everybody say amen. Amen. And God's people say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to greet your neighbors on your left and on your right. Tell them Happy New Year. Good to see you. Good to see you. Amen. We are set for something supernatural this year. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. The year has started already. Amen. And we are ready to engage the year already. Amen. I just want to share what the Spirit of God placed in my heart that I believe strongly will prepare every one of us for God's best in this year 2019. Amen. Alright, write it down. Prayer, fasting, and giving. The threefold cord for dominating 2019. Write it down. Write it down. Hallelujah. Prayer, fasting, and giving. The threefold cord for dominating 2019. Prayer, fasting, and giving. The threefold cord for dominating 2019. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Are you ready? Alright, have you noticed that every time... Okay, let's just read Matthew very quickly. Matthew 6, 2 to 3, 5 to 8, 16 to 18. Let's just read the scripture before. Prayer, fasting, and giving, the threefold cord for dominating the year. It's very important your heart is positioned with this truth. And trust me, I'm not about to give you religious views. No. All right. You can put up 2 to 3 in, you can put up Amplified. Or let us read from King James. I'll give the explanations. 2 to 3. Therefore, is it thick? Take heed that you do not your alms before men. That's from verse 1 now. To be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. All right. Verse 2 says, therefore, when you give your alms, when you give your alms, Amplified says, when you give to the poor. So the emphasis there is on give. And I want you to note when. All right. Jump to verse 3. It says, and when thou doest that alms, let not thy right hand know what thy left hand is doing.
that thine arms may be secret, that thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Amen. So the first truth he talked about was giving alms. And the fundamental thing there is giving. There are different kinds of giving. Amen. But the one he emphasized is giving alms. Okay, but the principle there is giving. Have you taken note of that? Verse 5. 5 to 8. When thou what? Alright, we need to participate now. One to go. Verse 5. One to go. And when thou prayest. Alright, can you put amplify it for me. When you pray, that's what he's saying. We'll read amplify from now on. 5 to 8. And also, when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. So notice he said, when you pray. Put up verse 7. We'll just highlight. Verse 7, read it again. One to go. And when you pray, do not heap up phrases. Multiple words repeating the same words over and over as the Gentiles do. For the thing that they will be heard, for they are much speaking. When you pray again, verse 8. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what your needs are before you ask. All right, jump to verse 16. Jump to verse 16. And whenever you are fasting, King James says, when thou fastest, meaning when you fast, do not look gloomy and sour and dreary like the hypocrites, for they put on dismal countenance, that their fasting may be apparent to and seen by men. Truly I say unto you, they have their reward in full already. Hallelujah. Verse 17. But when you fast, perfume your head and wash your face. Next verse. So that your fasting may not be noticed by men, but by your Father who sees in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Hallelujah. Alright. Three things we saw there that Jesus taught about an added when. The first one was what? Giving. Can we participate? The first one was what? The second one was what? Praying. The third one was what? Fasting. Now listen to this. Every time Satan wants to rob the church of the power and the benefit of any truth, he propagates religious views. Did you hear what I said? He makes religion out of it. And this three very important truths are not left out. They have been victims of Satan's scheme. So never, when we talk about giving, prayer and fasting, never look at the religious view of the truth. Amen. So I want you to position your mind for revelation, for insight about these three things. It's amazing. Do you know there is religion? Religion has been made out of giving. He talked about it here. In the same way, religion, the Pharisees made religion, and even today it's still happening. Religion out of prayer. The same thing with fasting. But these are very powerful truths and concepts. I call them the threefold cord that cannot be broken. Cord that cannot be broken. You want to see a man walking in dominion in the kingdom of God? You want to see a man who is spreading, who is taking root and spreading, who is generating result, producing fruits, and making impact in the kingdom, not cutting corners. They understand these truths. And they understand how to engage them. Hallelujah. Not with the view of religion now, but engaging them as they ought to be engaged. Jesus said, when you give, not if you give. He says, when you pray, not if you pray. He says, when you fast. Hallelujah. You know, thinking about these three things, and I was thinking about the religious side, and what harm religious view has done to men. I was amazed. Never forget this. Every time you take a religious posture about every truth, you kill the power. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 6, I believe? In that's Matthew chapter 15, verse 6, and Mark chapter 7, verse 13. You can put it up. He says, you have made the word of God, meaning the truth of God, of none effect. Meaning you are robbing it of its power, of its potency to deliver. Why? Because of your tradition. He's saying truth can be devoid of power when you bring tradition into it. And what is tradition? Tradition is basically a vehicle through which truth is communicated. Bedtime. Amen. So when... have you ever asked yourself why we close our eyes to pray? Somebody says in the Bible, God says you should close your eyes or you pray. Have you ever found it in the Bible? But you see, it's a good practice. It helps you focus. So what they were after in teaching that you close your eyes to pray was focus. You can see a vehicle for communicating truth. This is why we talk about the balance of tradition and truth. Tradition will always be a vehicle for communicating truth. Is somebody following me? Hallelujah. So when you talk about prayer, because of what religion has done through the years, people are not sure if it really works. What else will you give me as explanation? When we had Christians who were posting that INEC will not count your prayers. You saw it, some of you saw it last year on social media. They said, go and get your PVC. INEC could not count your prayer. You know, that statement offended me. And he showed the carnality of most Christians. He showed how much confidence we have in prayer, in the subject of prayer. And you know why? Religion. Religion. Most of us grew up in a place where the moment you mention prayer, you feel bored, you feel tired, you feel uncomfortable, you feel this is something stressful, and I'm not sure it's going to produce the right result. Because if you know that prayer will produce results, you'll be excited when they talk about prayer. Ah, you are sure you can connect the input in prayer to the outcome of results. You will get into, people will not be bored, people will not be uninterested when they talk about prayer. But can you see, because of religion, we can't make the connection. We can't make the connection. And you hear people saying things that it's not all about prayer, with a sense of disdaining the power of prayer, voicing their ignorance of the power of prayer. Queen Mary of England many years ago said, I fear the prayers of John Knox more than the entire army of England put together. You think she was joking? A monarch, she was a wicked queen, made that statement, like, I fear the prayer of one man. Oh, the power of prayer. Than an army. Oh, that means prayer can affect ballot papers. Yes, oh, shalakabaya. Is somebody here? But so why do people make that statement? Religious view of prayer. INEC will not count your prayers. That's for you. INEC will count my prayers. Oh my goodness. Hallelujah. The same thing with fasting. Same thing with giving. Religious views. Powerless views of these three truths. No, I'm saying this to prepare your mind that, listen, there's power in these three things when you have the right view. Is that okay? Hallelujah. Threefold cord that cannot be broken. You can't engage these three things and be the same. This is how to position yourself for all that God has for you in the year 2019 and in every season of your life. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. When Jesus thought about these three things that were just read, he added something, open reward. The God that sees in secret gives an. That means there's always an open reward for giving. There's always an open reward for prayers. There's always an open reward for fasting. Glory to God. This is how to lay the foundations for you. Listen, when you get into planning for the year, which is very important, we do it, I do it, You must have your plan for the year. You must design the framework. All right, how you want your year to go, your goals for the year, performance goals, personal development goals, along those two lines. Hallelujah. We'll hopefully talk about that later. But listen, when you do all those without this, without passionately engaging these three things I call the threefold cord, those plans will be like old aircraft in the airport that never flies. Have you ever seen them? Hallelujah. It gives it energy. It gives it energy. Prayer gives the plan energy. We'll get into the dynamics of it. In Acts chapter 10, we read about a man called Cornelius. We saw the threefold call producing the greatest miracle of salvation. In from verse 1, they said there was a devout man whose name was Cornelius. Okay, and an Italian, a centurion of the Italian regiment. It was at Caesarea. Remember, you can put it up. Verse 2 says, in the hour of prayer, in the ninth hour, his eyes were, a devout man put, okay, verse 3, about the ninth hour, that's 3 p.m. of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God entering and saying unto him, Cornelius. Next verse. And he gazing at him, intently at him, became frightened and said, what is it, Lord? And the angel said unto him, your prayers and your generous gifts to the poor. Is that not giving? Your prayers and your generous gifts to the poor has come up as a memorial, has come up to God and have been remembered by him. If you read in King James, it calls it your prayers and your alms. Your alms giving. On this occasion, he was fasting. Put verse 30 in King James. Verse 30, very, very quickly. So here we see the combination of this wicked. And Cornelius said 4 days ago. Now, he was reporting to Peter. After Peter had come. After he had seen a vision to meet him and give him words by which you'll be saved. We see the combination of the two again. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting. The ones we saw that he was praying and he was giving. Oh, come on now. We saw about the air. So he was reporting that actually fasting was added. Fasting facilitated the praying. Hallelujah. I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. Hallelujah. So he was a giver. He fasted. And he prayed. And he had that angelic encounter that brought salvation to his house. Maybe you don't understand. He was a Gentile. That is like breaking into something that took God a visionary encounter, in fact a trance, to convince Peter to do. You know, when Paul says things like, I'm an apostle to the Gentiles, magnify my office, you must understand what he's saying. I think I've explained it here before. I'm an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my office. He's saying, look, God has called me to the unclean. In the sight of an average Jew, the Gentile is unclean. So he's saying, God has sent me to the unclean. You may despise it, but I magnify my office. Let me tell you something. In the eyes of an average Jewish Christian in the early church, Paul was a lesser apostle. Do you understand? Because he was sent to the unclean. The thinking of the Jew. I want you to understand what Cornelius broke into by this. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. I said glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. You know, most times when the year is beginning like this, and we talk about fasting, prayer, and giving, like we're saying today, we're not trying to do what others do. Or we're not trying to be religious. I want you to get this. We are doing this by revelation. I told you last Sunday that God deals with man in times and seasons. Amen. Very important. The dealing of God with man on the earth is trapped in times and seasons. And he said in Genesis chapter 1 that he gives the light, the sun, the moon, the stars for signs and for seasons to separate the day and the night. Talking about times and seasons. Glory to God. That means when you talk about the earth revolving around the sun, okay, and the one that causes day is what? Is it rotation and revolving? All right, rotating causing day and night, and revolving causing years. That is a season. Glory to God. He says it's for signs and for seasons. That means when a new month is coming, we can also call it a new season. When a new year arrives, we can call it a new season. And God expects that we capitalize on this resetting of times and seasons to make progress. Amen. Is somebody following me? And if you are acquainted with the Bible, Job talked about commanding the morning. He talked about knowing the ordinances of heaven and using them to regulate the earth. That means we can cause words to go into seasons before they arrive. That means we can cause words of power. We can generate energy to influence the outcome of a new season. Is somebody following me? Listen, by now you know that things don't change with time. Actually, by design and because of the fall of Adam, things deteriorate with time. Things don't change with time. That is a new year doesn't mean, oh, new year, new things. No, there has to be engagement of truths. It's not new year, new things. Truth must be engaged. Truth must be applied. And you must be intentional about it. That this season, maybe a new month, a new year, a new quarter, a new week, has to discharge to you and release to you your expectations in this direction. Is somebody following me this morning? So I don't like new year, new me. By now you know that most people drop and forget their new year resolution after the first month. Some after the first quarter. Amen. My new year resolution. What is somebody's new year resolution? Let me not see what's coming to my mind. Hallelujah. Yeah, God is not against new year resolution. Oh, but for us, new resolutions are spiritual. They are not carnal decisions. They are decisions we make in partnership with the Spirit and with the understanding that truths have to be engaged for these things to be the way we want it to be. Hallelujah. What have you resolved for this year? Oh, in 2019, I will rejoice morning, noon, and night. I'm going to be a joyful man. A praise giver. God will always hear praise from my mouth and from my heart. This year, glory to God. In 2019, I dominate. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 4, 14 and 15. Still giving a background to my arguments, amen, and to my teaching. Giving introduction. Prayer, fasting, and giving. The threefold cord laying the foundation. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. Notice this. Watch this. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him throughout all the regions round about. Verse 15. And he taught in their synagogue, being glorified of all. Look up at me, everyone. Listen, most times, the way God, you need to hear this. You need to hear this. If you are interested in 2019, you need to hear this. The way God subdues territories and industries before us, watch this, is by sponsoring rumors to go ahead of us. In industries, in territories, in cities. Listen, there's such a thing as supernatural rumors. Yes, sir. Yes, It happened for the children of Israel, and it's still happening today. When God wants to disarm your enemies, when God wants to expand your influence over an industry, listen, oh, in a workplace, in a territory, in a city, in a nation, He begins to sponsor rumors ahead of you. You have not gone to any place, but your fame has gone there. The Bible says Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. Galilee means the circle of the hidden, the marketplace. Oh, that's what Galilee means. You can go and check the circle of the hidden. Jesus returned to the circle of the hidden in the power of the Spirit. Look at what happened. His fame was noised abroad. He has not done one miracle, but his vibes have gone out. He had not preached a message. It was in the next service that he went to the synagogue and taught. But his vibe, to show us that, listen, that first wave of vibes that went about Jesus wasn't because he did a miracle or preached a sermon. Is somebody getting me? It had to do with him returning in the power of the Spirit. And suddenly, glorious rumors. God is sending out rumors about us this year. Oh, I don't know who believes about your products, about your industry, about your goods, about your business, about your ministry. Oh my goodness, the Lord is sending for rumors. That means before they heard about the product, some before they saw you, they had heard about you. Before they used your product and your services, they had heard about you. Holy rumors. In this year 2019, I don't know who believes me, but from this service, your fame is noised abroad. Oh, I say your fame is noised abroad. I'm prophesying a new fragrance of the Spirit. A new fragrance of the Spirit is going forth from you, commanding a new response from the city to you, a new response from your industry to you, a new response from your environment to you, in the name of Jesus. Holy rumors. Speak in tongues in 1 minute. Holy rumors. Holy rumors. Holy rumors. You went for a job interview, and a man is looking at you and says, I've seen you before. I have seen you before. I think I know you. He doesn't know why. He has to show you favor. Holy rumors. Holy rumors. Mandele brunda kaposo shofra kaposa. Holy rumors. Holy rumors. Hallelujah. You may be seated. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Listen to me. This is how. Listen, let me tell you something. Before you dominate any industry or take over any city, any territory, God sends out vibes. That's what we call sponsoring rumors on your behalf. And see, these vibes, listen, these vibes, when they go out about your products, about you as a person, about your services, they begin to change the body language of the territory towards you. The body language of that industry towards you. This is very important. No man takes over any city until the body language of the city is changed towards them. This is how God changes the body language of the territory towards you. Somebody comes to a city to do ministry, and he has labored and labored for years, and it's as though the city is not open to him. Not necessarily because they are not anointed. Not necessarily because they don't have the word. There's such a thing as the body language of the city towards you. The moment the body language of the city and that industry changes, it has nothing. Listen, let me tell you something. When these things open, to you to be like, is this not what I've been doing? You will say a simple phrase that I've always been saying. Everybody shouting, see a word. See, I was saying this thing from university days. Oh. Let us see your presence. See packaging. See delivery. See. I am wondering, is this not what I've been presenting? The body language has changed. The body language has changed. in the place of prayer, fasting and giving. Listen, we change the body language of a territory towards us. Listen to me, I'm giving you how to dominate in 2019. In the place of prayer, fasting and crazy giving, you change the body language of that industry towards you. You heard the last time, Mr. Femi, right? You remember Mr. Femi, the banker who came for the marketplace? You know, there's a side that maybe when next he comes in a group, I would like him to share. You see, he told you that in the board of directors, in that Pan-African bank at the point, he was the youngest. And he always wondered what he was doing there. I knew him when he started. Okay, Sam is here. We knew him. Then we're maybe like 100 level when he started. Glory to God. He was at the top. Selected as one of the trees to be future MDs, future CEOs of the bank. A major tool is this giving, combined with prayer and fasting. Suddenly, the body language, the body language of the entire institution was changed towards him. Hallelujah. Is somebody listening to me this morning? Understanding of truth comes with responsibility, because you now know what to do. That's why ignorant Christianity makes God solely responsible. And we call it irresponsible Christianity. They wait completely on God to do what he wants to do. Not listening for what am I supposed to engage in. Jesus, don't forget that Jesus went somewhere to return. We read that he returned in the power of the Spirit into the circle of the hidden, and his fame was noise abroad, his vibes was noise abroad. Suddenly everybody wanted to hear him. He went somewhere and returned. The Bible says he was driven of the Spirit into the wilderness to do what? To fast and pray. Because according to the Bible, there is no fasting without prayer. That's charismatic affliction. God doesn't sponsor that. All through the Bible, fasting was always combined with praying and giving. We'll get into that. And helping out. And having fellowship with God. Or having and making your requests known. Those who did 40 days and 40 nights had time of fellowship, time of receiving direction from God, and times of empowerment. Moses was in the presence of God 40 days and 40 nights without food to receive 10 commandments. It's not just 10 sentences. Does it take 40 days to write it? Fellowship. How did I know? His statement shows us his mindset. To the children of Israel, it was law, but to Moses, it was his life. It was his life. It was his life. It wasn't about God writing 10 sentences. There was a fellowship. There was a fellowship. Elijah, the same thing. Jesus, the same thing. Hallelujah. So he went somewhere and returned in the power of the Spirit. And his vibes was everywhere. Hallelujah. Is somebody getting blessed this morning? So we'll just take them one by one. We'll handle prayer today. We'll handle prayer today. As part of the threefold cord for dominating the year. We'll handle prayer today. Many things to say about prayer, isn't it? Alright, we've already established that prayer is not a boring, fruitless religious exercise. Though sometimes, you need to write this down, sometimes prayer must start as a decision. Continue as a discipline until it becomes a delight. You can write that down. Starts as a decision. Sometimes you decide to pray. You decide to pray about your year. You decide to pray for a new experience in 2019. You decide as a decision. Amen. You decide that your children, your family, your spiritual life, your walk with God, your finances has to go in another direction. So you decide to pray. Amen. So it starts a decision. I have to add that second part, because sometimes even after you have decided to pray, there must be discipline to continue. Because listen, prayer, I'm hoping not to go ahead of myself. Prayer is not God, you have seen, oh, you have seen. Help me, Lord. You know I need help. Your word say you help me. Help me, Lord. Jalabababa. Jalabababa. In Jesus' name. Amen. You go. No. 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 You can't maximize prayer like that. So a lot of people now think prayer is the pattern is like this: intercession, then intervention. No. Most times it's intercession, instruction, then intervention. The three I's. So intercession, instruction. Now instruction, I just use the general word. It actually means the light breaking on you. And listen, that light breaking on you sometimes will take time. And it also has to do with what you are praying for, who you are praying for. If you are praying for something personal, it's easier and faster. If you are praying for something that has to do with the will of others involving, you want the government to give you the contract, the will of the chief of staff and the governor is involved. So it's going to take a longer time to bend. Are you listening to me now? So it's not really about what God wants to do and what he doesn't want to give. No, it's about you being positioned to lay hold on what is available. On what is available. It continues as a discipline until it becomes a delight. Amen. I've said it here again and again that prayer is a major generator of the infrastructures for progress. Major generator of infrastructures for progress. The basic foundation for prayers, I just want to highlight, then we'll share on the five things prayer was designed for. All right, then we'll close. Basic foundations for prayers, number one, our revelation of God. I have to mention that again, our revelation of God. So we are not going to a God who is unwilling. We are not trying to overcome the unwillingness of God. Whatever you are praying for, know that God already did something before you came to pray about it. The gap is that you are in the flesh and you're on earth. And that's what your persistence does. Amen. I said amen. Alright, so our revelation of God, that God is a loving Father, God is always willing and able, and God is faithful. Paul says God is faithful, by whom we are called unto the fellowship of his Son Jesus Christ. Number two, our understanding of the covenant. Basic foundations. I said number one, our revelation of God. Number two, our understanding of the covenant. Knowing that God is bound by blood to hear and answer you. Listen. You know, that sounds braggadocious, right? But it's true. God is bound by blood covenant. Hey, listen to me, there's blood between us and God. Never forget that. No matter how helpless we look, no matter how imperfect the church looks, I tell people, there's blood between the church and God. All it requires is for us to open our mouth. He's bound by that blood covenant to answer. He didn't waste the blood of his precious son. No, he didn't. When we ask in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, he says, when we ask anything according to his will, according to his will. His will there doesn't mean if it's his will to give you what you're asking for, you'll be mistaken. He's talking about according to his will for asking. And we ask in faith. We ask in the name of his holy son Jesus. Is somebody here? You must understand that. You must think covenants when you pray. You must think covenant when you pray. That was the difference between David and the other army of Israelites at the valley, at the contest with Goliath and the Philistines. The others came there looking at the size of Goliath and looking at the ability to bring down Goliath. Again, that was the difference between Joshua and Caleb and the other elders that were sent out to spy the land. The others were looking at the giants. Joshua and Caleb were looking at the covenant. This year, don't look at the giants and don't look at your human abilities. These two scenarios, you see that the focus of the people was one, the giants; two, their own ability. The land is flowing with milk and honey, but there are giants there. And the land consumes its inhabitants. That's a lie. If it consumes its inhabitants, how come you saw people there? Don't look at the giants this year. And don't look at your human ability. Don't look at your humanity. No. Don't look at what you can do and what your bank account can do. Don't look at the family you came from. Look at the covenant. David came and says, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine, defying the armies of the living God? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" Circumcision, the seal of the covenant, showing us where his eyes were. Understanding of the covenant. God is bound by blood. Number three, foundation, our stand on God's word. Our stand on God's word. Foundation for prayer, as we pray and fast this month. Your stand on God's word. You see, we're praying within the confines of his word. You are not trying to make him do something he has not revealed. Do you understand? You are not turning to him hoping. No. Hosea said, 14 verse 2, I believe, say, "Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Take with you words and turn to the Lord." The most effective prayer is praying the word. When you pray scriptures, it's super effective. When you pray scripture, "Oh Lord, you see what I'm going through. They are asking, where is my God? Oh Lord, what have I done to you?" You are complaining. You are not praying. "Oh Lord, when will it be my turn? When will it be my turn, Lord? Will he ever come to my turn, oh Lord? But Lord, you told me you're a good God. What is happening to me?" He's still a good God. He has not changed. What am I saying? You are not. The call to prayer is not a call to complain. It's a call to present your strong point. See, prayer is like going to courts. And you must be a good lawyer. Oh, shalavaya. Those who have resolved, listen, in the place of prayer are good lawyers. Because prayer is like going to court. You are appearing before the Supreme Court of the universe. And appearing before the judge of all. Presenting your constitution. What you got according to the constitution, my Lord. This is what it says. I'm supposed to have my children according to the constitution. Is somebody here? I am supposed to prosper according to the constitution. You must be a good lawyer. What do good lawyers do? They gather content from the constitutions. You don't stand before the judge and tell him what you feel. No, you quote the constitution. Is somebody here this morning? You quote the constitution. This is how lawyers win cases. This is how we win in prayer. So imagine a lawyer who doesn't know the constitution. They will finish him in courts. They will finish him in courts. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Presenting your strong point. The word is a guideline. Hallelujah. All right, five things prayer was designed for. If I can do two, and we'll pray and we'll prophesy, I'll go. Five things prayer was designed for. Number one, prayer was designed for communication and fellowship with God. You can write it down. Fellowship means sharing together. Fellowship is the cream of every relationship. And it's a platform through which God can rub off on you. You know, Jesus came and called him Father. The others knew him as God. To Abraham, he revealed himself as Jehovah. You remember? To Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he revealed himself as El Shaddai. To Moses, he revealed himself as Jehovah. He says, he told Moses in Exodus chapter 6, he said, I revealed myself to your fathers as El Shaddai, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. He says, I am Jehovah. And then Jesus came and gave us a higher revelation. says, my Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. He called them Father. Now, the very word Father presupposes a relationship, right? And the cream of that relationship is fellowship. The way the Father rubs himself on us is to prayer. The way he relates deeply with us is to prayer, with the foundations I've listed. The way he empowers us with himself is to prayer. In the upper room, when they receive empowerment, what posture were they? Prayer. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came while they were in the upper room, not in the supper room, according to the man of God. Since they were in the upper room, not in the supper room. That means they were in the place of prayer, fellowship, communication. Every time you want to hear God about what step to take this year, concerning different areas and all that, you get into prayer, into prayers. You know that in the place of prayer, there's communication, there's fellowship. Fellowship is sharing. There's sharing. Hallelujah. Number two, prayer was designed to bring you revelation, insight, and light. Malachi. Prayer was designed to bring you revelation, insight, and light. Probably one of the greatest benefits of prayer. Look up at me, everyone. I know when I'm about to say something very serious, I tell you to look up at me. Probably one of the greatest benefits of prayer is sight, vision, and revelation. Never forget this as long as you live. Remember, I made a statement earlier that the pattern is intercession, instruction, and intervention. Most times, Christians do intercession and wait for intervention. So their ears are closed. Their eyes are closed. They are not even expecting God to show them something. They are not expecting God to say something. Listen to me. Probably one of the greatest benefits of prayer is insight, revelation, and light. That means every time as we begin the fasting tomorrow, 21 days fasting is starting tomorrow. As we begin the fasting and praying, and we structure to pray at personal levels and at corporate levels, listen to me, you must expect revelation. You must expect the light to break on you like the noonday sun. You must expect light from heaven. Kalabaya. The way God empowers his people to dominate territory is through light. Light. When there is light, there is dominion. Oh my goodness. Is somebody here? No light, no dominion. No light, no speed. Imagine driving in the night and your headlights are off. How fast can you move? Talk to me, somebody. Can you move? Genesis chapter 1, verse 16, I believe. The Bible says, the Lord made two great lights. God made two great lights. He said, the greater light to rule by day, and the lesser light to rule by night. Light is connected to ruling. And this light breaks on us, sometimes as instructions, sometimes as a knowing and a knowing and a knowing. You know that you know that you know that this is what to do. Sometimes, and when we talk about this insight and light, look at it in two forms. Number one, light and insight into God's word, into the ways of the spirit, the knowledge of eternal things, the knowledge of the things of the spirit that will guide your affairs in life. Number two, light and insight concerning the work of your hands. Sometimes you go to pray and the Lord will tell you, or you just know suddenly, God, do this thing this way about the work of your hands. Listen to me, a lot of the harvest, the results, and the domination we expect this year is going to come through these lights. Knowing what to do. The labor of the weary, of the foolish, weareth every one of them. Knowledge, which is light, they knoweth not how to enter the city. And I've told you, until you break forth, you don't assume you know. That's pride. That's pride. Meaning your heart keeps searching. When you pray, you keep listening. As you are praying in the Holy Ghost and fasting and giving, your ears are open. You are expecting God to speak. You are expecting the Lord's glorious voice to be heard. You're expecting him to show you something. And sometimes this seeing may come as you're having conversation with people. You know, religious Christians and those who that like to feel deep, the thing is when they hear a voice from heaven, "Oh, my daughter Anna, move thou outside the gate and check the third gate. There is a man standing there. He shall answer your question. You soon run into troubles." Listen, the light and the knowing sometimes will break forth, not when you are praying, but the praying conditions you to receive it. Do you understand? You may be watching a program on television or news, and something will just flash, and you say, your heart, we call it personal recognition system, your heart will tell you that this is it, this is the answer, this is the answer. You know, you say, somebody will ask you, "How do you know?" I know. And when you step out, you see supernatural intervention. Light. He made two great lights. The greater light to rule by day, the lesser light to rule by night. Prayer was designed for light to break upon us. For insight and revelation. Habakkuk said, "I will set," Habakkuk chapter 2, put it up for me. Apelobakasa. He said, "I will set my watch," right? "I will set me upon the tower to see what he will say to me and what I shall answer when I'm reproved. I will stand upon my watch." That's the posture of prayer. "I will stand upon my watch. I will set me upon the tower and I will watch to see." So when we fast and pray, watch to see. Oh, I'm preaching this morning. Watch to see. In this year, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower so that God can be happy, so that I can feel happy that I've prayed. I will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I'm reproved. And did God speak or not? Vision. He said, "Write the vision." God answered and said, "Write the vision. Make it plain. That I may run that readeth it." Isaiah 6 says, "Arise and shine." Not because you feel like it. Not because you feel like it. For your light has come. For your light has come. In the place of prayer, your light comes. You have tried about this business and tried and tried and tried. Once the light comes, you arise and shine. That's what they say. Once the light comes. You reign, you arise, and you shine. Hallelujah. So let your eyes be open. Let your ears be open. Remember, it is intercession, instructions, or visions or insights. Then you have intervention. You notice in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 16 to 18, you can put it up. You notice that the bulk of Pauline prayers for the saints was about revelation, wisdom, insight. Have you noticed? A bulk of Pauline. Now go and read all the letters of Paul. The places he talked about praying for the people. Some of them together and take an average and take a percentage. A bulk of it was about insight, eyes being open. Amen. The spirit of revelation and wisdom. Amen. Knowledge, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. See it here, that you may have insight. Amplify said, "I may have insight into mysteries and secrets." Insight into mysteries and secrets. Insight into mysteries and secrets. Hallelujah. So we go to God with the words that has come to us. I'll read some of those scriptures out again and some of the prophecies out. We go to God with those things and we expect the light to break upon us. You know, we quote and declare scriptures until scriptures start talking to us. You've heard me say that before. It's like beating the manna until the oil comes out. That's what the children of Israel were doing. A bulk of his prayer was insight, revelation, and all that. Amen. Okay, we'll just take one more and then we'll pray and we'll close. Number three. We said number one, prayer was designed for what? Talk to me, church. Designed for what? And communion. Number two, prayer was designed for revelation. Number three, was designed to charge the power of God within you. God designed prayer to charge His power. To charge His power within you. You know, it sounds ambiguous. It sounds paradoxical, right? If He gave me power, why do I need to charge it? How many of you are the outpouring? Day two. If He gave me power, why do I need to charge it? It's everywhere in the Bible. If you read the Bible, you see that what I just said is true. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, you shall receive power. You shall receive dunamis after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. St. John's Gospel chapter 1, 11 and 12. He said to them who received Him, gave He the power. But as many as received Him, gave Him the power to become the sons of God. Gave you the power, exousia, right? To become the sons of God. So the day you got born again and received the Holy Ghost, there was an installation of power battery. Or battery power, you remember? Hello? There was an installation. That was what happened. God places power within you. The word of God is true. It doesn't lie. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. A Christian has received the Holy Spirit, and it's as though his life doesn't have power. He touches the sick, be healed, they don't get healed. He says, business change, nothing happens. He lays his hands on something, and it's as though nothing happens. Satan is even oppressing him with the Holy Ghost. So what is the problem? You've not seen, it happens. Some of you are listening to me right now. You know the Holy Ghost is inside of you, but you feel powerless. Or you try to discharge the power, and it's as though nothing is happening. What you don't understand is this, that what was installed when you received the Holy Ghost, we call it battery power. Listen to me. I gave an illustration. I said, this is a phone. Give me your phone, man. These are two phones. The charge of this phone is 98%. The charge on this phone is 3%. When you want to browse with them, is there going to be a difference or not? Network difference. Come on now. And this is likely going to go off. But it goes off, you can't check what you want to check in the internet. Does it mean something is wrong with this phone? It just needs to be charged. So we'll call prayer socket power. Oh, shalabagayaya. Oh, you see guys, I'm not feeling you. The dunamis you receive when you receive the Holy Ghost is battery power. From time to time, you need to charge it. When you get into the place of prayer and you are praying the Holy Ghost, it's like plugging your charger to the socket. So sometimes you come out, you are 80% charged. Hey! You come out, you are 60% charged. Eh? And you notice that in charging your battery, time is a factor. You now see why we talk about spending time praying in the Holy Ghost. Spending time praying in the Holy Ghost. Spending time praying in the Holy Ghost. Nothing is wrong with the phone. You need to charge the battery. Listen, they are not powerless Christians. They are only Christians with low batteries. They are not powerless Christians. We only have Christians with low batteries. And you know how to charge the battery. When you fast and pray, malato so prekepo social to kepo. Man de balakonde kebala kapon zeste preto sepa. You charge the battery of God's power. Your life becomes a PowerPoint, a fireplace, and you become a bad market for Satan. A bad market. Listen, a believer who is on fire, a young man, a woman, a young lady who is on fire for God is a bad market for Satan. He knows he can't run rampage around you. He tries, he's defeated. He tries, he'll go on break for some time. Is somebody here? See, I'm charging my battery. This January, I'm charging my battery. Say it like you believe now. This January, I'm charging my battery. In James chapter 5 verse 16, that popular scripture, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man makes tremendous power available. The power there is not dunamis or exousia, is iskus. Iskus, socket power. Iskus. Iskus. Don't play ayabalakabaya. Never let intellectualism make you play down the power of prayer. Are you listening to me? Never. Never. Prayer can do and undo. Have so much confidence in the power of prayer. As a man and a woman who knows the word of God, who understands this fundamental and the foundations, the power of prayer. The power of prayer. You know, Connor used to talk about his mother and their prayer and her prayer partners. And when they give people admission without jump, they say, "Mama, this person needs admission." They say, "Ah, we say, but the jam." He say, "We jam, which jam? Jam or no jam?" She gets the admission, and they will pray them into school. You are the one who understand that somebody cannot get admission without jam. The power of prayer. The power of prayer. The power of prayer. Literal power. You know, go and read the history of the church in Nigeria. When we talk about the outbreak of the apostolic power, the power demonstrations were literal. Do you understand? The power demonstration. One of the associates of Babalola, his son went for visa, American visa also, and then he did not get the visa. When he came back, he said, "Baba," he said, "What? Why? What do you mean by that?" He collected a passport and threw in the air. The passport was suspended there. He went inside. He said, "Ah, but we prayed." So he took the passport, suspended it there. He went in. Then he now asked, he said, "Why did you do that?" He said, "I wanted to test if the power was there." If the power was still there. Eh? So let's go and inquire from God. Why did you get the visa? Believing in the power of prayer. Is somebody here? That crude power of prayer. That primitive power of prayer. Primitive power of prayer. Listen, you press until you get that. Do you understand? You know that if I take this thing to God, it has to be settled. If I come day one and nothing happens, I'll go back again. Come day two. Listen, some of you have been told that the prayer of faith is a prayer you pray once. It's not true. It's not true. Go and read your Bible very well. It's not true now. The example that James used, sit down. The example that James used in describing the prayer of faith was Elijah. Eh? He said Elijah was a man subject to life passions. He prayed earnestly that it should not rain at the rain. He prayed again. So go back to 1 Kings and read how Elijah prayed. He sent somebody out 7 times. Hour 1, nothing happened. Bible scholars told us it was 7 hours of prayer. First hour, said nothing, sir. Second hour, nothing. Third hour, nothing. He went to pray again. Fourth hour, the seventh hour, he said, "I see a sign." Ayaya. Like the size of a man. He said, "That's it." So don't feel bad that you pray as though nothing happened. You go back and put your Bible before you. Arrange messages again. "Lord, what do I need to know that I don't know yet?" Shebalaka pronda kipa. Super tepola pa so tepa sheba. Listen, you must, when you pray, listen. When you pray, don't have that thinking of "I'm trying to cover my prayer time." It's not, it's nice, but it will make you go very fast. You know, there's this every day I pray 1 hour, so I come to spend 1 hour. No. When you pray, there must be a hunger. When you pray, you must press. When you pray, there must be an expectation for an encounter. Do you understand? An expectation for heaven to move, in light, in insight, in encounters, in revelations, and in empowerment. So you are not wasting away time. Speak in tongues. Oh boy. Here it is, Just speak in other tongues. Can I have the communion ministers? In the Laro Saradada, in the Laro Saradada, just speak it on. Just pray in the spirit. Give him thanks. Make declarations. Can we be on our feet, please? Let's just rise.
We believe the Word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.